Well, good morning, Crossroads family. How are y'all doing this morning? Let's greet the guys online, everybody. We're so glad you're here. Thanks so much for joining us. And I just want to say, first and foremost, happy Mother's Day to the moms that are joining in either in the room or on the feed or on the internet. Thank you so much for what you do for us. My world would be upside down if I didn't have a mom and a wife of a mom to my kids in my life, right? And so everything would be really crazy. So thank you so much. We hope, although we can't gather like we normally do, we hope that you feel especially blessed on this Mother's Day, and we look forward to seeing you soon. So Tanya's going to sing. The worship band's going to do a song here in just a second, and Joe's going to have a wonderful, wonderful message for us as we kick off our new series today. Can't wait to hear that. Just a reminder as well, any point during this next song or the song after the sermon is a response song. If you're joining us online, thank you so much for your generosity. Continue to give. We really appreciate that. And you can find that info on the screen here in just a second. But we are so glad. Let me pray and we'll get started. God, thanks so much for this morning. And Lord, you are here. And God, as we celebrate moms today, Lord, as we celebrate you revealing yourself of who you are, Lord, and who you're going to be and who you're going to come as you return to us. God, as we begin to get just a little picture of that, God, I pray that you would be magnified and glorified in this song, in this sermon, and in our response as a church. So, Lord, we lift you up. It's in your name. Amen. Amen. Tanya.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love.
We want to encounter you.
miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
So true, the Spirit of God is in this house this morning. Amen? Amen. I think it's because it's just people in the room, man. It's just a different vibe when we're in here singing songs to our Lord, man, and it just feels great, man. So it's beautiful to see you guys. I can't see y'all. I wish I could, but I can't see y'all. But thank y'all for joining us online. And this place has got some beautiful people in it this morning, and I'm glad to see it, man. Man, we got a great series that's coming up, and Joe has been prepping and excited to jump into this. I'm excited to hear from him this morning. Normally, I would tell y'all to go around and greet each other. I'm not, okay? I'm not telling everybody to do this. We're still practicing some social distancing. Just look to your neighbor, maybe give him a Wi-Fi. Don't touch him, but just kind of give him a virtual hug or something like that. We'll do that in the interim until everything clears out. But prepare your hearts, prepare your minds. Matter of fact, can we pray for Pastor Joe before he comes up? Lord, I pray you would use Joe. I pray that the word you put in him this morning will be spoken clearly. I pray that our hearts be ready to receive what you have to say to us this morning, and that we would clearly be able to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for who he truly is, through the words and the teachings of Pastor Joe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, it is great to have some people in the room. Man, this is awesome. It's so great to see all of you. Here's what we're going to be doing. And Tyler actually is going to be giving us all. He's the man that knows everything that's going on. And we're going to be adding services as we need them to accommodate our people with social distancing. So we'll evaluate, and then he's going to let you know during the week. We'll let you know. We might go to two services next week, depending on how the numbers are here. And then we'll continue adding services so that we can keep serving you live. We want you to be here live and experience that. So I don't care how many services we do, we're going to make sure that you're able to come to church. But it is great to be here this morning. I'm starting a series called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to be in the first chapter of Revelation. And I always pray and think about, you know, ask the Lord to show me what he wants me to teach. And, you know, so I always think the sudden and shocking impact of the coronavirus outbreak got me to thinking about the sudden and shocking return or second coming of Jesus Christ. How that's going to be, you know, maybe it's going to be a lot different than the COVID pandemic, but the shock of it and the way everything changed, well, that's a little bit what it's going to be like when the Lord returns. And it also got me to thinking that it could happen soon. It really has gotten me to thinking that. When has one event ever been on the minds of everyone on the planet? Okay. Well, when the Lord returns, that'll be on everyone's mind as well. So it's just kind of got me thinking that maybe in our lifetime, maybe in my lifetime, maybe we'll see this happening. Now, in his first appearance, Jesus arrived in a somewhat quiet and obscure way, amazingly taking the form of an embryo. See, Jesus is eternal. He always existed. And God said, Jesus, you're going to go, and you're going to spend some time on the earth. And he took on the form of an embryo and was placed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a young Jewish girl. And he was born in a most ordinary way. And as a baby, young boy, teenager, and young man, Jesus lived a mostly normal and obscure life. But at 30 years old, things started getting exciting as Jesus kicked off his ministry. And after 3 years of performing signs, wonders, and miracles, Jesus was arrested, he was tried, and then he was crucified. And then Jesus surpassed everything he had done in his earthly life when he rose from the dead. After his resurrection, Jesus commissioned his disciples to take up the work of bringing the gospel to the world. Okay? He handed it off to them, and as the Holy Spirit illumined, brought to their mind of the apostles and others that had been with Jesus to write the New Testament, many amazing truths were revealed concerning the awesome greatness of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't think the disciples knew it. The Holy Spirit spoke to them, and the ones that were used to write the scriptures, they wrote some things down that just talk about our amazing and awesome Savior, Jesus Christ. And his promised return is something that, if you're a biblically informed Christian, you're waiting for it. Okay? I hope you are waiting for his coming. Okay? In this series titled The Revelation of Jesus Christ, I want you to become more aware of Jesus' greatness, and I want you to be ready for his triumphant return. Okay, so there's my two purposes in this series, and we'll see how long it goes. There's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, but I want you to become more aware of his greatness, and I want you to be ready for his triumphant return if it does take place while we're here in our lifetime. Now, speaking of greatness, can you do something for me? Can you let me just have a couple of minutes where I talk about something I really miss, sports? Can I just do that? Because I kind of miss it. But who are the all-time greatest athletes in the major sports? Okay, let's talk baseball. Mickey Mantle or Mike Trout? We won't vote on that, okay? In hockey, is it Wayne Gretzky or Gordie Howe? Some of you don't know who Gordie Howe was. Some of you don't know what hockey is, okay? We live in a pretty hot climate here. Basketball, is it Michael Jordan or is it LeBron? Okay, all right. In football, maybe we'll focus on quarterback. Is it Tom Brady or is it Patrick Mahomes? It remains to be seen. It's hard to decide who the greatest is because most athletes play in different eras at different times. By the way, did you know that there is a debate at Crossroads over who was the best football player among our staff? Did you know that? There's been a debate going on, and it's Joe or Brock, okay? There's been a little debate going on. We played in different eras. But so I have to tell you, last Saturday night, this is the truth, I had a dream. I got to tell it, bro. You got to stay in the room for this. So in my dream, okay, I was on this new church floor, this beautiful floor. If you're not here, if you're watching it, we have a brand new floor. And I was on this floor, and it began for a moment to look like a football field. And then I looked down about 50 yards down the field, and there was Brock. And we caught each other's eye, and then as if coming from heaven, I looked up, and a football was floating in the air like it was kicked from heaven, and it landed right in my hands. And I saw Brock, and he saw me, and I started going toward Brock. Because, see, he's always talking trash about how he could have guarded me and taken me down. It might be true, but in my dream, okay, and as we got close together, I made a move. Now, the sideline was here. I made a move to the left, and he didn't really go for it, but then I moved right, and he took that fake, and as I did that, I cut back to the left, and he went flying. He fell. He was so deked out that he fell. And now remember, last Saturday night, Brock preached, by the way, did an amazing job preaching. But right now we're talking about football, okay? He didn't really show up for this game. And as he fell, I began to laugh. I changed the ball. I put the ball in this hand, and I started running straight to the end zone. And as I looked over, his knee blew out completely. And he went rolling in. And as I ran toward the end zone, I was like, oh, no, in my dream, I promise. Who's going to preach? It wound up being a nightmare because I didn't have a sermon ready. Now, so we can debate this, and we probably will, as long as we're both alive. Who was the best? There's no way to determine it. And I'm going to say this. It was my dream. I'm sure in your dream, you'd have tackled me, caused a fumble, picked it up, and run it in for a touchdown. Okay? But when it comes to Jesus, there is no debate as to who is the greatest. There's no debate. Listen to me. Jesus is the greatest. He is the greatest. And that's what I want us to realize in this series. As we study the revelation of Jesus Christ, see, the book is called Revelation, singular. It's not Revelations. It's Revelation, and it's not the revelation of John. John's the one that wrote it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of who Jesus is in his greatness. And as we study this series, if what I hope is going to happen happens, then you and I are going to have a much more awesome view of our awesome Savior Jesus, which will cause us, listen, to want to worship him and follow him in a greater way than ever before. That's what can happen. That's why it says, Gino prayed this morning, there's a blessing promised to the one who studies the book of Revelation. You're never going to figure it out. It's a mystery, but you're going to be inspired when you see what he's done. So let's jump into this now, starting in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read the first three verses to kick us off. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, he gave it to John, to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. He sent his angel to John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. The revelation of Jesus Christ was delivered by an angel to John, one of Jesus's 12 disciples, one of the apostles. This is the John in the scripture referred to as the disciple who Jesus loved. John was in Jesus's, when I say inner circle, it wasn't a clique. These were the closest to Jesus. And it was John, James, and Peter. John was one of the three that were closest to Jesus. And at the writing of this book, John was the only one still alive. James was killed, was the first of the disciples to be killed for his faith. And Peter had already been crucified, tradition says, upside down. He refused to be crucified the way Jesus was. He said, I'm not worthy to die the way Jesus died. So they hung the cross upside down and they nailed him to it. John received a revelation as to the things that would take place in the future. And we're told that blessed are those who read these words, the words of this prophecy aloud. Blessed are those who hear it and keep it and follow what is written, because the time for Jesus' return was near. Now, John is going to continue. And by the way, I'm going to really try and make this the book of Revelation, I'm going to try and simplify it for you. We're not going to get into all the details of everything, but I want to give you two words that will be my commentary of the book. You ready? Jesus wins. Okay? He wins. But now we're going to study, because we get a blessing from studying and thinking, seeing his awesomeness and thinking about his soon return. But we know, regardless of how it happens, when it happens, We know that Jesus wins. Okay, so John now greets the seven churches that this prophecy was written to. Did you know Revelation was written to seven churches in Asia Minor? And he begins to describe the greatness of Jesus. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are here before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. It's a little greeting, and it says, Jesus, firstborn from the dead, meaning that he was the first one to have received a resurrected body. Okay. And he's the ruler of kings on earth. I wouldn't worry too much about, I mean, we need to be concerned about every election we ever had. Don't worry too much about elections. I mean, do your part. Don't worry too much about who is in charge, whether the guy in a country, the dictator in a country is alive or dead or sick or whatever. Don't worry too much about that, because Jesus is the King of all kings. And the things that happen around us happen under his watch and under his guard. And relax, he's got this. He's got this. Okay? Second part of verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us, he's speaking of God now, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him who loves us. It's just a greeting, okay? I could preach the whole sermon on just the greeting. To him who freed us from our sins by his blood. Do you remember when you were in bondage to your sin? Sadly, many Christians still live in bondage to their sin, but it's because they don't tap into the awesomeness and the greatness of Jesus to set them free. Okay, I was in bondage to my sin, hopelessly in bondage, when I met Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came within me. I now had the ability to overcome that sin because of the power of the Spirit living within me. We need to remind Christians, because remember what we're after. We're after revival. Awakening and revival. And when we begin to realize that the Holy Spirit lives within us and he empowers us to overcome all things that we'll ever face, we start to, guess what? We die to ourselves. We allow the Spirit to control us, and we begin to overcome sin in our lives because we've been set free from our sin. Verse 7, it says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. This is just the introduction. I don't want to get too much into it. But he's coming. Jesus is coming. And every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. Even those who, the ones who pierced him, who crucified him and died, they're going to know. They already know who he is. They already know they made a mistake. But those that reject him, those that reject him will wail. Okay? Jesus' time of being rejected will once and for all be over when he returns. Okay? Verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. Alpha is like A. And Omega is the, Alpha was the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, I am now, and was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Getting a little excited. How can I not get excited about this? Quite an introduction, quite a greeting, but then again, we're speaking about the revelation of the greatest one of all time, Jesus Christ. So let's get into the vision that John received. Verse 9. It says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, someone is sitting there saying, wow, is Patmos in the Caribbean? You know? Not quite. Wasn't that kind of trip to an island? He was a prisoner. and he was sent to an island. Many believe he was there just by his lonesome. He was all alone on an island for only one reason, because his crime was that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And John says during the tribulation, and some of you are starting to think about, listen, if you have all these charts and systems about when everything's going to happen, that's not what this series is going to be about. Remember, Jesus wins, but we're not going to act like we have it all figured out. It's fun to do that. I'm not against that. I'm not going to do that here because I'm going to end up being wrong about so many things, but I'm not going to be wrong about this. Jesus wins. So some say Jesus comes before the tribulation, and it starts it. Some say he comes at the end of the tribulation. Some say in the middle, and I'm not really sure. I'm really not sure. I lean towards before because I don't want to go through the tribulation. But I'm not really sure, and I would not die for that, and neither should you. And we don't argue about things like that that don't really matter. If you think, if I say before and you think the end, great. Let's share thoughts and let's encourage each other. And if you think middle, great, and we can just talk about these things. We add humility to our theology, particularly our eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the last things of the end times, and we're not supposed to know. We're supposed to get excited. We're supposed to recognize how great Jesus is and then wait for his coming. Okay. So he's on the island of Patmos because, and he's all by himself, kind of like, what's that guy's, what was that, that movie with Tom Hanks? Yeah, kind of like that, you know? And many of his brothers and sisters in Christ have already been killed. John's probably close to 90 years old at the time that he wrote that. And if you remember, go back in the Gospels, and Jesus told him, you're going to live a long time. And he outlived all of the disciples. His crime was simply being a follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. These are the cities that the churches were in. To Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis, to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. He says, write this letter and send it to the churches, these seven churches. Okay. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. He heard the voice, and he turned around, and it says, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. So John, an angel, is speaking to him, but now he hears this voice saying, write down what you see and send it to the seven churches. And he turns around, and there are seven golden lampstands, and one like the Son of Man in the midst of the lampstands. Now, you're going to see in a moment that the seven golden lampstands represent the seven churches in those seven cities in Asia Minor. And I find it interesting, the Son of Man was in the midst of them. Apparently, Jesus likes to hang out in the midst of his churches. Isn't that nice? By the way, next week we're going to look at the seven churches. There's all kinds of different ideas of what it means, and I think about lots of those things, but we're going to just look at it as those churches, and he's going to describe some of those churches. He had only good things to say. Some of them he had only bad things to say. Some of them he had good and bad to say. Okay. But he was hanging around in them. Do you realize that when you walk in this place, now Jesus is everywhere. He's in our lives. Oops, I'm not supposed to step out. Sorry, guys, I'm here. Okay. Do you realize that he's here? Because this is his church. This is his house, not ours. Okay. We have to take care of it, okay? We have to clean it and we sit in it and we do all the things, but it's his church. And by the way, if this building ever wasn't available to us, the church goes on. It can't stop us. We're a living organism, the church. We're alive. So he sees Jesus in the midst of his churches. Now, John had traveled, the guy writing this, he had traveled and ministered with Jesus for 3 years. But now he was with Jesus. They spent 3 years together, but now he was seeing Jesus in a way that he never saw him before. Let's continue. Second part of verse 13, listen. So one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs on his head, this is a description of Jesus. The hairs on his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. So he's within the seven lampstands. He has seven stars in his hands. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. So John turns around. He hears this voice. He turns around, and he sees the man that he walked with for 3 years, but in such a way that he had never, ever seen him before. He's got a robe and a golden sash. His hair is white, snow white like wool. His eyes are like flames of fire. His feet like burnished bronze. A voice sounding like the ocean, like many waters. Seven stars in his hand. And from his mouth, a sharp two-edged sword, which represents, I've told you this before, when you seek God with all your heart, you'll find him. The reason I spend so much time in the presence of God is because one word from Jesus Christ, one word, if he speaks to me, is like a sharp two-edged sword. It's piercing. Why do we seek the voice of God? Because his words are piercing. And it describes his tongue. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. His face like the sun in its full strength. Jesus is being seen here in all his glory. Now listen, there was another time that Jesus kind of revealed himself to his disciples during his 3 years of ministry. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 17. And I want you to see this. A few verses I want to read to you. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. And Jesus was, he was with his disciples in the midst of his ministry, and he pulled Peter, James, and John. Remember I told you the three? He pulled them aside. And listen, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So Jesus now reveals himself to his disciples, just the three of them, in his glory, in a sense, in his glory. And Moses and Elijah show up. These are believers, Old Testament believers who've died, but they show up in spirit there. And they want to see it. They're like, wow, Jesus is going to show himself to the closest three. And they show up. And it says, and Peter was the disciple who always put his foot in his mouth. He was already dead. You can imagine, he was preaching. You know, he was a bucker, okay? He bucked things. If he was around during the coronavirus, he'd say, get away from me. I'm going to lay hands on people and pray for them and see them healed. He was a bucker. So, of course, he's already gone. But listen to what Peter said. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. It's good that we're here now. If you wish, I will make three tents here. A tent is kind of like a place, a shrine, a place of worshiping. I'll make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Okay? So now he's putting Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the same level. Okay? Because they're there. Jesus is revealing himself. He's transfiguring himself in his glory. He says, hey, man, wow, it's good that I'm here. Aren't you glad I'm getting to see this? And we'll build a little something for you to worship you and Moses and Elijah. Peter said that. Verse 5. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, Peter, shut up. Peter, shut up. You don't understand what's taking place. Now, he didn't say, Peter, shut up. But what he said was, this is my beloved son. Don't be putting Moses and those are great men. They're men. Don't be putting Moses and Elijah on the level of Jesus. I'm not. They're here watching. Don't start worshiping them. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Okay? Don't start making a big deal about things you don't really know what in the world you're doing. You see, listen. No one can be compared to Jesus Christ. Don't ever try. Don't ever try. He is so unbelievably awesome that no one can be compared to him. Now, though John spent 3 years with Jesus, he had never seen him this way, not even in the transfiguration. Because when Jesus revealed himself to John during this revelation, it was beyond the transfiguration because apparently Jesus, we know, he toned things down when he was on earth. See, if he showed up like that, people would have just believed in him and followed him just because they were afraid not to. But he gave people a choice. And Jesus came as a man. As a man, just like us. Only he lived the perfect life. And he allowed his awesomeness to be seen in its works. Even in the transfiguration, I don't believe that they saw what John was seeing here. So how does John respond? Now we're back in Revelation. And it says in verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. So when John turned around and he saw what he saw, it said he just down. He knew him for 3 years. He walked with him. He was praying with him probably that morning. But when he saw him, down. That's how awesome he is. That's how awesome he is. He's beyond imagination. You can't understand how great he is. I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, Jesus did, saying, fear not. That's meekness. You know what meekness is? It's power under control. And here is this awesome, incredible, he always was like that. Listen, when he walked the earth and when Pilate arrested him, he said, who are you? You say you're the king? He said, if that's what you heard, yeah. Huh? And he was so when John saw him in his glory, who he really was, but he laid up. He laid up on earth because he was meek. He had power, but he controlled it. I think I hit my nose on the last thing. I think I busted it. Get me an appointment at the... Oh, we can't go to the doctor. Okay. And he just gently went to John. And he said, fear not. Laid his right hand, said, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am all this and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. That's how we are introduced to our awesome and wonderful and magnificent Savior, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, do you think understanding what I'm trying my best to communicate to you, as you understand his awesomeness, do you think it might affect you as you approach him to pray over lunch today, if you choose to pray? It's not mandated. You can pray for your food. But when we recognize who he is, he lays up. He's meek. He doesn't walk around wielding that power, talking about how great he is. He doesn't have to. He's awesome. There are not words to describe who he is. And when you and I realize that, it changes the way we live. It just changes everything. It puts it all in perspective, because that Savior puts his hand on my shoulder and yours every time we cry out to him. And he says, fear not. We've got this. I'm going to carry you through. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to walk through life with you. And then, you know, I don't have time to pray. Don't have time to talk to the greatest of all time. Let's say it's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan shows up. Tyler, you're the one that was, I heard you say Michael Jordan, MJ, right? You're in your office. Michael Jordan shows up, and he comes. He says, hey, man, I wanted to talk to Tyler a second. I say, Tyler, MJ is here. He wants to talk to you. You say, I'm busy. And you're ordering chairs, you know, for us. Or you're ordering the floor, and you're doing, I have to come later. I would be like, man, that's disrespectful. You're the one that said he's the greatest. See, we say Jesus is the greatest, but it doesn't show up on our calendar. Crazy? Are we crazy? I tell you what, I've been getting up early in the morning. I told you, this is when it gets dangerous, you know, my preaching, because the Lord told me the more time I spend with him, the greater will be my anointing. So this morning I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had to buy, it's been cold, I had to go out and buy my first ever sleeping bag. And I went out to spend time with the Lord at 4 o'clock this morning. I'm not saying I didn't fall back to sleep a couple of times. But to hear one word from Jesus is worth sleep. It's worth everything. In fact, when I get in the presence of Jesus, I rest. How could you not? How could this not? When we come in here, Tanya, you're going to lead us in a song in just a second. And I'm thinking that we need to worship him for who he is. He may have laid up in his earthly life, a little bit in the transfiguration. He gave him a glimpse. But in Revelation, he showed who he really was. And I don't want to hit the ground again because I'm probably going to break my wrist. That's who he was. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, saw him as he truly was. And all he fell as if he was dead. Verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars. Remember he was holding seven stars? As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand. And the seven golden lampstands. Remember he was in the midst of seven golden lampstands. And he had seven stars in his hand. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches themselves. So I'm going to try and I'm tell you what I think it represents. Perhaps the seven stars were literal angels of those churches, angels assigned to those churches. But that's not what I think. I lean towards that those were the seven pastors of the churches. And the seven lampstands, we know, were the seven churches. I think Jesus wants to have a pastor. Here's the thing. I always tell you that it's, you know, people that want to be a pastor. Where are you, Parker? Are you here somewhere? There you are. Okay, he's training to be a pastor. He's going to be a great one. He's going to be a great one. And I always say, guys, you don't know what you're getting into because it's really more challenging. There's suffering and all that's true. But I have to say this. I can't think of anything greater to do. Parker, I can't think of anything greater. Now, if you're walking with Jesus, because there's a sense that he'll take a pastor and put the pastor in his hand and walk us through life like he did with your grandfather. I don't know if you guys know this, but Paul's father, amazing church planter, missionary, started Bible school after Bible school. I read his book. Amazing. And it didn't skip a generation. God had a different calling on Paul's life. And part of it was to be the great husband he is to Sarah. But the calling is, God has to determine this, most probably on your life, Parker. And it's on your life, Tyler. And your life, Travis. Where are they? They always hide. Okay, there he is. And Brock, he left. Brock is gone, right? So, oh, yeah, I after that football story, I thought you'd be gone. But let me tell you something that happens to a pastor. We get to have Jesus, if we allow him to, hold us See, one of the reasons that God allows me to experience him is so that I can get you excited, because you can as well. You can what? You can experience this awesome Jesus Christ. So when we see Jesus Christ, Tanya, you can come. When we see Jesus Christ for who he is, our prayers begin to change. We stop praying. Now listen to me. We stop praising him for what he does. I think it's okay to praise him for what he does. But listen, when he does something for us, it's so easy. It's like a parent giving an egg to a child. Oh, Dad, thank you so much for the egg. I can't believe it. And it was fried, and it wasn't even watered. Thank you so much, Daddy, for giving me an egg. Probably the better thing to say, a child to say to a daddy is, Daddy, thank you so much that you and Mommy brought me into the world. And that you love me, and you care for me, and you're not only providing me with an egg, but you're going to provide for me all of my life, because you love me in that way. When we thank, you can thank God for the things he does, but you don't praise him for the things he does, because we know he can do all those things. We praise him for who he is. Who he is. When John hit the ground, he wasn't saying, Jesus, those are really nice shoes you have on. And I really like that golden sash, by the way. And by the way, that color of hair really is becoming to you. He didn't say any of that stuff. He didn't say, Jesus, thank you for calling me. Thank you for what he recognized is who he was. Imagine if I was this tall, I could still preach. Okay? He recognized Jesus for who he was. Who is he? He's the greatest of all time. There's no comparison. So let's worship Jesus for who he is, the undisputed greatest of all time. Now, Tanya, I think and I hope some people are going to be singing now.
Oh, yeah.
To the one who's seated on the throne above all thrones. To the one who saw fit to gather all his children close. To the one I feel in the sunlight on my skin. To the one who shattered every remnant of my sin. And to the one who was, the one who is and is to come. To the come. join with all of heaven. Hallelujah. We join with all of heaven. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah, we join with all. Come on, lift your voice and sing it. We're singing.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. The highest praises Joe talked about this morning in the sermon. A couple things stood out to me, and I hope it stood out to you as well. One, he said that Jesus is the greatest of all things and of all people all throughout history. And something that spoke to me is, if he's the greatest, then why is he the greatest in my life? There's so many areas where Jesus is up there, right? He's on the podium, but he may not be at the top. He's medaled, right? But he doesn't have the gold medal, right? And so as I was thinking about that, it occurred to me something else that Joe said as well, and it was Jesus comes back, and again, he's diffusing some of the controversy, the arguments around Revelation, but it's that Jesus wins. And so if Jesus is the greatest, Jesus wins. We believe that, right? Then why is it I don't let? Why is it that we don't let? Why is it as us as a church don't let Jesus win in our life fully and completely? Winning is winner take all, right? It's easy to joke about, well, everybody gets a medal or a ribbon or a trophy at the end of T-ball season. But at the end of this side of eternity, there will be one person holding all the trophies, right? So that's what I'm pushing into, and that's what I encourage you to push into as well, is let Jesus win in your life. Amen? Amen. Gosh, what a good morning. What a great start to Revelation. We're so glad you guys are here in the room. So glad you guys continue to join us online. A couple of things for this week. We'll have our Tuesday night prayer service at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Make sure you join us online. And I think we could probably open up the room as well. And so if you want to join us in the room on Tuesday night, we'll make sure the doors open at 6:50 and we'll do that for you as well. And so make sure you join us there. And we've got a lot coming. And again, as Joe said, as we said this morning, we will continue to communicate and let you know what it is that we're doing. And we're just taking it one day at a time. And, man, it's real easy to let Jesus win one day at a time, right? I don't have to look at everything that I've got in front of me for the rest of the year. I just got to look at this week. right? And so we're so glad that you're with us. Thanks so much for sticking with us. And God is up to something, I think, in the middle of this. Let me pray and we'll dismiss. Lord, thanks so much for this morning. And God, I thank you that you are the person who was, who is, and who is to come. And Lord, as I think about your return, no matter what that looks like, I know one thing. I'm not going to miss it. It'll be crystal clear no matter how it happens when you return. And so, Jesus, as we are waiting eagerly for that return, as the earth is groaning in anticipation, God, help us to be the lampstand that we heard about in the scripture this morning, the lampstand that projects your light all around us, not just in this room, as Joe was saying, but as a church that is a living, breathing organism, projecting light, Lord, as little outposts of you, eagerly awaiting your return. And we're excited to see what you're doing. Continue to be with us. Continue to bless us, Lord. Be with those that are hurting right now. Be with those that are separated and can't gather. Lord, help us to be the church ever so more importantly right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great Mother's Day. You're dismissed.